Good morning, and welcome to Citizens Audit Committee webinar hosted through the Zoom platform. Meeting is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 10 a.m. For any users who are attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode. Citizens board and committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. Chairman Dunbar, would you like for me to proceed with roll call?
Yes, Barbara, please do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Chairman Dunbar.
Here.
Governor Brown.
Here.
Governor Holton.
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Great. Let's go ahead and get to item number one, which is the approval of the minutes. I'll accept the motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Great. Without objection, let's show that approved. Next item, Joe Martins. Looks like you have a slew of items, and I will give you the floor.
Good morning, Governors. For the record, I'm Joe Martins, the Chief of Internal Audit. I'd like to refer you to page one of the Office of Internal Audit Executive Summary, where I provide an overview of the audit progress and noted that 53% or 15 of the projects scheduled for the period April 1st to March 31st, 2021 have been completed. Since the previous meeting, we completed 8 engagements. These include an overview of the agency management system implementation, where we provided consultative support over areas of elevated risk and assurance over the design of controls for key activities. On page 2 of the document, we noted an overview of the recent disaster recovery exercise, where we participated in the exercise and provided feedback regarding the attainment of plan objectives, management's observations, and strengths and opportunities. With the Executive Leadership Team Recruitment Selection Advisory, we provided a comprehensive analysis of the Board of Governors' role in the executive recruitment, selection, promotion, and termination or separation processes for senior managers. We also benchmarked citizens' practice with standards applied by comparable state entities. An audit of policyholder claims experience, where we assessed that controls and processes over the claims customer experience are adequate to capture customer feedback and measure customer satisfaction. We also noted an opportunity to enhance access controls over the voice of customer survey data storage. Internal audit periodically reviews procurements which could be considered a sole source or single bid. For RFP 20005, we noted that adequate and appropriate controls were exhibited in compliance with company policies for Florida statute. With the SOC audit, we evaluated the adequacy and effectiveness of the SOC report governance process and noted an opportunity to enhance the process by implementing exception tracking and monitoring. On page 3, with the third-party access audit, we focused on the adequacy of policies, inventories, user account management, connections, and monitoring. Our work indicated 2 areas where operational controls could be strengthened. An audit of policyholder. In late 2019, Citizens completed the migration to a new vendor to provide commercial banking, including wire transfer and ACH services. Results from our audit work indicated that there are effective processes and controls relating to the authorization of wire transfers and ACH transactions, completeness and accuracy of activity paid via ACH, oversight of third-party banking relationships, and system access controls surrounding online banking systems. At the bottom of page 3, I refer to the internal audit work in progress. We currently have 10 engagements in progress, which include an audit of CenterPoint configuration to confirm that CenterPoint modules are properly configured to ensure that security is adequate and prevents the override of key controls, appropriate logging is enabled, and business control operational process needs are met. On page 4, with the CenterPoint role design implementation audit, we will validate that new roles for adequate segregation of duties And with the co-employment audit, we will evaluate whether adequate governance practices are deployed to manage contingent staff. On page 5, we list the OFAC audit, which is scheduled to assess the effectiveness of the OFAC validation processes deployed. And with the third-party risk management audit, we will assess processes deployed throughout Citizens to monitor and manage third-party vulnerabilities. We also continue to provide support to the Office of Insurance Regulation and the Auditor General in the execution of their regulatory reviews. At the bottom of that page, I refer to work scheduled to commence during the third quarter of 2020. This includes audits of commercial underwriting compliance, systems logging and monitoring, and pre-event bond assets. On page 6 of the executive summary, I noted that for control deficiencies, internal audit is tracking 4 new observations. None of these observations are of high impact. In general, the business units do a stunning job in addressing identified control failures and all older issues resolved by the end of July this year. On page 7, I continue with an update on progress from the internal controls team. Through various touch points with the business areas, the internal controls team continues to ensure that the Citizens Internal Control Framework standards are followed and that control assessments continues to add value and strengthen Citizens control environment. As of August, 128 primary controls have been recorded across 71 business processes. Annually, business units complete control self-assessments for every documented primary control. With the control self-assessments, they evaluate the adequacy of control design, the effective execution of controls, and issues identified, recorded, and corrective action plans are implemented. The internal controls team performs selective quality assurance reviews to ensure that standards are met. To date, 10 quality reviews were completed across a broad spectrum touching claims, legal, financial services, and enterprise operations. And on page 8, I continue with an update of the progress from the enterprise risk team. Enterprise risk continues to mature the enterprise risk management throughout the organization with facilitated interactive operational project and scenario-based risk assessments and training. This enables risk champions and management to self-identify, assess, and manage risks that may impact their ability to achieve business objectives. As of August, a total of 385 operational risks have been identified and assessed across the organization. At the request of management, Enterprise Risk facilitated 2 cross-functional risk assessments. The first assessment considered several emerging or present threats from COVID-19 occurring concurrently with the tropical cyclone season. And the second assessment focused on the rollout of new agency management system, My Agency, and the types of risk that should be monitored and managed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This concludes my report.
That's great, members. Do we have any questions for Joe? All right.
I have no questions.
Super. I guess then that takes care of tab 2. We'll move on to tab 3, Jennifer's CFO report.
Thank you. Good morning, governors. For the record, I'm Jennifer Montero, Chief Financial Officer at Citizens. For your reference, the material I'll be discussing are located behind tab 3 of your books. The document titled 2Q2020 Results of Operations and Financial Position provides an overview of Citizens' unaudited financial position, including cash flows, invested assets, and surplus, as well as operational results for the period ending June 30th, 2020. While the document titled 2Q2020 Results of Operations and Financial Position Commentary provides commentary, discussion, analysis of those operating results and financial position, I will be providing a summary of information contained within the commentary document. At June 30th, 2020, Citizens held consolidated cash and invested assets of $8.68 billion, marking a decline of $200 million from December 31st, 2019. The decline in the total invested assets was largely due to the January 2020 bond redemption and scheduled June 2020 bond principal repayments, partially offset by cash flows from operations. Consolidated surplus at June 30, 2020 was $6.49 billion, or $130 million more than December 31, 2019, and was largely driven by the consolidated net income of approximately the same amount. Direct written premium for the first half of 2020 was $552.6 million, or 25% greater than the first half of 2019. This is the result of new policies written in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, along with increases in renewal rates largely due to temporary deferrals of payment cancellations and certain underwriting procedures in response to the COVID-19 crisis. As of June 30th, 2020, consolidated ultimate direct losses in LE related to Hurricane Irma were $2.16 billion, which is unchanged from the prior quarter. And of that amount, $879.8 million is recoverable under Citizens Reinsurance contracts with both the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund and the private reinsurance. Consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to Hurricane Michael were $149.9 million, also reflecting no change from the prior quarter. There are no reinsurance recoverables related to Hurricane Michael, as the attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements were not met. Although litigated non-weather water claims continue to be a dominant driver of loss and LAE activity within the personal lines account, the litigation rate for accident years 2018 and 19 continue to show improvement in comparison to accident years 2014 through 2017. Within the commercial lines account, losses in LAE related to sinkhole claims are relatively unchanged. However, volatility in older non-sinkhole claims have the potential to contribute to material quarterly variances in reported loss and LAE ratios in future periods. Through the first half of 2020, Citizens' expense ratio was 21.6%, reflecting a 3.4 percentage point decrease from the same period in 2019 and a 3.4 percentage point decrease as compared to budget. Administrative expenses incurred during the first half of 2020 of $65.7 million were 0.6 million or 1% more than the same period in 2019 and 6.8 million or 9% less than budget. Variances in contingent staffing from budget were primarily due to lower than anticipated needs for independent adjusters, as well as a higher than anticipated number of claims entering mediation. However, it is anticipated that the variance will contract over the next two quarters. Total investment income was $141.8 million, or $22.5 million greater than the same period in 2019, while total average invested assets declined $351.4 million, or 4%. The relative decrease in the earned income was principally driven by declines in the rate of return within money market funds, as well as reductions in tax-exempt holdings resulting from the scheduled maturities of certain outstanding bond obligations. The decrease in earned income was more than offset by an increase in net realized gains as portfolio managers sold securities that were held in a positive mark-to-market position through the active management of invested assets. In January 2020, $150 million of the 2015 A1 series bonds were redeemed at par, resulting in a $1.5 million gain that was included in the net realized gains. As of June 30, 2020, Citizens' unrealized gains on investments were approximately $310 million. Total assets and surplus remain well positioned to meet any potential claim payment obligations that may arise due to hurricanes and continued growth in Citizens' policy count. If there are no questions, that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
That's great, Jennifer. Does anyone have any questions?
No questions.
Governor Brown, you're muted. There you go.
Okay, I don't have any questions, just a comment. It looks like we've, over the last few years, positioned the portfolio really well. I mean, the duration is good, and even though you've got some stuff rolling off, you're getting a good rate of return. So that's hard to do in this low rate environment, so I compliment you on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kudos. All right, anybody else, I think that's the end of our agenda. Anybody else have anything for the good of the order? No? Okay, well, then nothing I'll accept here. A motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
All right. Without objection, let's show the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.